Are we all set with that part?
Yeah, we addressed his.
Now, Representative Adams, we had some language we talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah. We're just getting to that, actually.
Okay, good. Perfect timing, Representative.
Well, your amendments to the preamble are included in...
Yeah, we've done that part.
We did that. And it's in, yep, and then the companion same color piece right on the front are those. Yep. And then we're almost to your other issue. If you look at the document that says insert 4. So in the third paragraph, it says, so now they've accepted the bids, they reviewed the bids, or they've they've received the bids, they reviewed the bids, and then in the third paragraph it says, and then they've negotiated with one or more potential suppliers. So then in the third paragraph it says, consistent with such negotiations, the commission may direct one or more T&Ds to enter into a long-term contract of up to 20 years for the energy capacity and renewable energy credits of one or more deep water offshore wind pilot projects or tidal energy demonstration projects only if the commission determines that the potential supplier meets the following 5 conditions. So it's proposing a sale of energy produced by one of these 2 types of projects. And here, Representative Adams, number 2 is speaking to something you brought up yesterday. Has the technical and financial capacity to develop, construct, operate, and to the extent consistent with applicable federal law, to decommission and remove the project in a manner provided by Title 38, Section 480H8 and Subsection 3, Paragraph G, which is a cross-reference to the decommissioning requirements that are in law for the test sites.
So these would be those that we had
vetted last year.
Indeed, through 2 different committees, in fact, the Land Energy, Land Wind Energy, and the bill that established the temporary test sites.
Yep.
Very fine. Thank you.
And then going along, it quantified tangible economic benefits is a third requirement. The fourth is pertinent experience in the relevant, whether it's tidal power or offshore wind. And specific experience is listed. And then the fifth requirement is that a demonstrated commitment to invest in tidal energy or deep water offshore wind energy related manufacturing facilities in the state. So if all 5 of those conditions are met, the commission may direct a T&D to enter into a long-term contract. The next paragraph requires that the commission consult with the University of Maine and DECD to develop and review the request for proposals and the proposals submitted by developers. You have a question?
Representative Clark.
Thank you very much. I'm worried it's a little vague. May consult with the University of Maine. What's the procedure for that? I mean, if I go to a professor and talk about my project, is that consulting with the University of Maine? I mean, it's a little vague, and I'm just wondering if the people who offered it could give us some clarity.
Yeah, I think Jake can.
Thank you.
Jake Ward, University of Maine. Thank you, Representative Flaherty. That came up in discussion with Mitch Tannenbaum from PUC in that they didn't have the – they felt that what we talked about in developing that economic analysis of the bidder, how they would measure that, how they would look at that. And since we had provided to the committee that sort of outline of what the economic measures might be, that we would work in consultation with them to develop the RFP so that the bidder would adequately respond to those questions. And then in concert with, and a lot of those questions are economic development issues, job purchasing, local content, that DECD would be able to review the proposals on in concert with the PUC. So that was the first statement to put down there, and I think people would be willing to accept more specific.
Is there an office within the University of Maine?
I'm just thinking that the statute's incredibly vague. And I've got no problem with it.
Yeah.
With the idea of consulting with the University of Maine.
We can put a specific, you can put my office in there, Office of Research and Economic Development.
I think that might be a little bit more clarity. And then the other question I had is, so we're going to involve University of Maine, we're going to involve Maine, DECD. why did you consider the Department of Marine Resources for any, I mean...
In developing the RFP.
Well, the RFP, okay. Probably not, yeah. I just throw my head around there. I'm getting a little concerned about my lobstermen, that's all.
Good point.
Just to answer that question, I think that the permitting process takes into consideration the users and stuff as well.
Did we get, what's the name of the office? And
Office of Research and Economic Development. You've got that written down. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Representative Fitz. And related to some of these financial issues, one thing to remember is that being 10 miles away from any landmass puts these in MMS waters.
Right.
And the requirements to get a lease through the MMS are so outrageously stringent that the process that whoever would be the person or entity trying to get that lease is going to have to disclose a lot, probably pages numbering in the thousands, before they get to the point of actually getting a lease. So I don't think there's any lack of vetting of information relating to viability, if that offers any comfort to people related to who then would actually wind up with a contract.